The Catholic Church in New Jersey has released the list of more than 180 priests, it says, have been credibly accused of child sex abuse. Some of the priests had one accuser. Others are accused of abusing multiple victims. The list comes amid an ongoing statewide probe into clergy sex abuse by New Jersey Attorney General Gurbir Graywall and after a scathing grand jury report out of Pennsylvania detailing decades of abuse and systematic cover-up by church officials there. Here to help us put today's revelations into context is Christopher Bellito. He's a professor of church history at Kane University and a commentator on contemporary Catholicism. Professor Bellito, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.
What did we learn from the lists released today? As something of a church watcher, what are your key takeaways?
Well, the first key takeaway is that when you take a look at the names, very few of them were ordained in the 1990s or the first decade of the 21st century. And what that tells us is that the church in New Jersey, and this is reflected not only in the United States but in other such releases of names throughout the world, has done a better job in patrolling itself, although I should say it didn't take much to do a better job because bishops were doing a terrible job, an awful job before this. Nevertheless, it's very important to document these cases to get a real account, but let's remember that these are not numbers, these are lives.
Is there any important information that's being withheld from these lists? What other information might survivor groups be looking for that the church is not disclosing?
Well, that's always the question, right? What's not there? What this list doesn't include are members of religious orders who may be serving in a parish or a hospital or some other setting. What does that mean? A Franciscan priest, a Jesuit priest. Another question that's being asked, of course, is the question of accountability. What is the accountability of those bishops who simply moved priests from one place to another? And, of course, the next question is what happens from here, and that's the big meeting that's going to take place in Rome in just a few weeks.
New Jersey's Attorney General is still investigating the Catholic Church statewide. How might these lists overlap with his ongoing investigation?
Well, that's the next step, is that the Attorney General is going to hope that the diocese are going to be cooperating. What we really need, though, is an independent investigation, because the church has demonstrated that, say, before the year 2005, they did a very poor job of patrolling themselves. And so one of the things that I hope comes out of the big meeting in Rome is that dioceses will be told around the world that they must have independent boards of investigation separate from the bishop's authority, that they will have real power and real authority, not just recommending something to the bishop, but telling something to the bishop. The church hierarchy has proven itself incapable of patrolling itself up until this point.
These names are being released the same week that the church launched a victims' compensation fund in the state of New Jersey. What do we know about that initiative?
Well, there have been some instances in some places where people have criticized compensation funds because they've only been open from, say, date X to date Y, or they've only had a finite amount of money. My understanding is that this fund is open-ended. It is not a finite amount of money, and that any individuals can come forward and tell their stories, and that an independent board, exclusive of the bishop's authority, which is what I think we need, is in place.
Newark's Archbishop, Cardinal Joseph Tobin, says he's hoping that this will be a first step to rebuild trust with congregants. Is it a real move towards more transparency, or is it a PR stunt, an attempt to redeem the church's image in the middle of a looming investigation?
Yeah, I don't think Tobin is capable of a PR stunt. I think that there have been lots of PR stunts in the past. I think that this is a real first step. But, you know, restoring trust is really hard. It's easy for the person or the institution who broke trust to say, trust me. It's a lot harder for the people with whom trust was broken to bring that trust back.
Professor Christopher Bellito of Kane University, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.